All right, everybody, ready to go? All right. We have got our fourth and final sermon in our series on what?
People.
And we've talked about in our first sermon how our church needed to grow because people are important. They're important to God, therefore they should be important to us. In our second sermon, we talked about how we needed to care properly for people. Right? And then when people come into the church and as the church grows, that we need to make sure that people's needs are met and that we're truly doing all that we can as a church family to care for our community. And then we talked about in our third one how people need what? Leadership. They need somebody to stand up and say, I'll be the first. I'll be the one who will start that ministry. I'll be the one who will go pray for that person. I'll be the one to share the gospel. We need leadership. People need leadership. Now, our fourth sermon today on people is going to be people need people, especially in the church. I want you to say that after me. People need people, especially in the church. Now, folks, I cannot overemphasize this, and I'm finishing with this for a reason. Because I think sometimes some of the things that we're going to talk about today are reasons why folks ought to show up for church. They're reasons why people ought to show up for Bible studies. They ought to show up, you know, for times where we have a potluck or when we have any kind of activity where we can be together, whether it's a prayer meeting, whatever it is. We're going to talk about some things that really ask the question, you know, if I'm a Christian, why do I have to go to church? If I want to follow Jesus, do I really need to do this with other people? Can I just do it by myself? Can I read my Bible? Can I pray? Can I live my life and just be with Christ and not be with anybody else? It answers these questions that I think a lot of people ask. And it's gonna answer it in some really, really biblical, you know, really scriptural ways. But there's some things, even for you long-timers, folks who have been in the church for many, many years, you're going to struggle with some of this stuff. It's going to be difficult for you to process the idea of trying to do some of the things that it's going to talk about in the scriptures that we're supposed to do. But it's very clear that in a church, people need other people. It's almost impossible to follow Christ without other people around you that are also following Christ. Now, there are some of you that say, well, Pastor, what about dependence on the Holy Spirit? What about just depending on God for all my needs? Well, listen, folks, I'm not making this stuff up. I know we're supposed to depend on the Holy Spirit. I know we're supposed to depend on the Lord. I know there's supposed to be a relationship there. But the Bible also talks about people within the church depending on other people in the church. And if the Scripture teaches us that we need it, guess what? We need it. You need it, and I need it. Everybody in this place today needs it. So people need other people, especially in the church. Now, there are some of you here today, you just love it. You love people. You love being with people. This is not going to be an issue for you because you're like, you get together with people and go, oh, let me tell you about how my week went. Oh, I'm really struggling with this. Can we pray about it? Let's talk. I'm making a female voice. I know it's so bad. I'm making a female voice. Like, but I always see this in females, Jack, right? I mean, Will, think about it. You see this in females a lot. Most of the time, females are much more comfortable with this than males are. They love coming together. They love talking about their husbands and what their husbands aren't doing right. And they love talking about how their week was and what they're struggling with at work. And they love to just know about what's going on in the other person's life. And they have no problem praying. I'm going to tell you, when I first started to get into church, when April and I got married, I loved Jesus. I gave my life back to Christ. I mean, it was a big moment. But Billy, I still had trouble with this issue of sharing my feelings and talking about what I was struggling with, and especially praying with my wife was so hard. Now, guys, I don't know if you relate to this, but when I first started out, to kneel down on the floor with my wife and to pray with her was almost impossible for me to do. I don't know if you struggle with this, but I know that I did. So the idea is that some of you are here today, a lot of you will be women, that have no problem with this stuff. You go, yes, people need people. We need each other. We need to talk more. We need to pray more. We need to share more. And the guys are going, oh, man. I hate sermons like this. I mean, I don't want to share my feelings. I don't want to talk about this stuff. I want to keep it bottled up because, you know, there's some of you here today, you're the lone wolf, right? You're the lone wolf. You like to be by yourself. You like to deal with your problems on your own. You don't need to talk to anybody, or at least you don't feel like you need to talk to anybody. You don't feel like you need someone, you know, to analyze your problems. You're the type of person, you don't want to go see a psychiatrist. You don't want to go to the pastor for counseling, right? You don't want anybody else to know your business. For you, this lesson is going to be a big, big struggle. Because if people need people, and that's a biblical concept. That means every Christian here, every person that's following Jesus here, needs another Christian person to do some of these things with, then you're going to struggle with it if you have trouble with that part of your life. So I want you to understand what you're getting into before we start to read these scriptures. Amen? Some of you are going to be gung-ho. Some of you, you're going to really struggle. But I want you to pray through it, and I want you to at least take a look at the scriptures and see them for what they are. See them as the Word of God, as something that can be helpful for your life, something that's needed in your life, and not just Pastor Shane trying to push some lifestyle on you. Amen? People need people, especially in the church. Let's bring up our first scripture today. It's going to be... Woo, that's not it. I don't know what happened there. All right. James chapter 5, verse 16. Now, if you want to follow along in your Bibles, I encourage you to do that. I know that I put this stuff on the screen and in your notes, but I don't want you to get lazy with your scriptures, okay? So, James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, therefore what? Woo! Confess your sins to God Almighty. Confess your sins to Jesus Christ in your prayer closet. Confess your sins on a little card and slip it under the pastor's door, right? It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other. It doesn't say anything about a priest. Doesn't say anything about your pastor. Doesn't say anything about God. Doesn't say anything about Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit, the Trinity there. It's talking about Will and I having a cup of coffee and me confessing a sin to Will, right? Confessing sin to one another. This is what I struggle with. This is what I'm tempted with. Here's a day this week that I failed, or a day this month that I failed, and I don't want to fail. I want to live righteous. I want to live for Jesus, but I'm struggling, brother. And then let's keep reading. And to pray for each other. Will you pray for me, Will? You get how this works? So, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be, hey, don't miss that. Don't think that we're reading this scripture as if all I want you to do is confess the sin for the sake of confessing the sin. All I want you to do is pray for one another because that's what Christians do. I want you to confess the sin and I want you to pray for one another because the scripture says that when you do it, that you will be healed. It says so that you will be healed. So if you're dealing with some sort of problem spiritually or emotionally, when you confess that sin and you ask for that prayer, then that's when the healing begins to come into your life, right? Now, this is one person with another person, right? It says the prayer of a what? It's very important. We're going to talk about that in just a second. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Doesn't say the prayer of an unrighteous person. Doesn't say the prayer of a heathen. Doesn't say the prayer of your best friend. It says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And we're going to talk about how that ties in. So the first thing is confess your sins. How many of you have ever had a toothache? Really bad one. Anybody? Travis, is this some of the worst pain you've ever felt? Yep. And you know the thing that's frustrating about a toothache pain? It's not the kind of pain like where you just broke a leg and a bone sticking out, right? I mean, that's immediate searing pain. The toothache pain is this, okay, this hurts. I can deal with it. You know, I put a little ice in my mouth and go to work and do what I got to do. And you get home and you go, oh, that still hurts. Then you go to bed and you say, maybe it'll be better in the morning, right, Miss Peggy? You wake up the next morning, oh, It still hurts and it's a little worse. And day after day after day, you don't go to the dentist because you're stubborn, right? And you don't put anything in it. You don't take any medicine. I'm going to deal with it. How many of you took that approach with a toothache? How long did it take you, Jack, before you went to the dentist? Toothaches are frustrating because it's this pain that just nags you and stays with you and it's always there. And guess what? If you leave that toothache long enough, it turns into an infection, and that infection can literally kill you. That infection can literally kill you. And that is what sin is like in your life. Christian, non-Christian alike, I'm talking to all of you. Anybody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, this is even more important for you. But Christians, if you slip up and you have a rough day or you succumb to a temptation, folks, this is very much applying to you as it is to anybody else. If you've got a sin that you're struggling with and you haven't dealt with it and you haven't asked for forgiveness and you haven't confessed it and you're just carrying that with you every single day, it wakes up with you in the morning, it watches TV with you, it eats breakfast, lunch, and dinner with you, it goes into every conversation you have with every person in your life, it goes to church with you on Sundays. It goes with you when you read your Bible. It goes with you even when you pray. Because you're not dealing with it, right? You're not dealing with the issue. It's a sin in your life and you're not dealing with it. And you carry it and it hurts and it hurts and it nags and it nags. And then you wake up one day and you say, why am I in such a bad mood? Right? Why am I so crabby to everybody around me? Why is it that I feel so frustrated? Why is it that I feel so depressed? What's wrong with my life? I'm telling you, what's wrong with your life is you got an infected tooth in there, right? And you won't go to the dentist. You won't confess that sin. You won't ask for forgiveness, and you're carrying it with you, and it's hurting you every single day. It's wearing you down and wearing you out. So the Scripture says this, and this is spoken to Christian people. Amen? This is not spoken to people who are non-Christians, even though it does apply. This is spoken to Christian people. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other. Now, this is something in the church that we just don't do. I might have preached a couple of sermons since I've been the pastor of this church on this very verse. This is something we're still very uncomfortable with doing. Very few of you even would confess a sin to me. Right? Your pastor. There's very few people in this church that will walk into my office and say, Pastor Shane, you know, I'm struggling with this and I need prayer today. Much less go to somebody in the church, right? And say, hey, Jack, I'm really struggling with this sin. Hey, Billy, I'm really struggling with this sin. Becky, I need your prayer for this. And we don't do it because we're embarrassed. We don't do it because we think everybody else has got it all together and we're the only ones struggling. We don't do it because we think we're going to be judged. We think as soon as I say, I'm struggling, I'm tempted. Maybe you're not even in the process of sinning, but the temptation is so heavy that, I mean, you're right there. I mean, it could go at any moment. And you think, I'm the only one. These people in this church will not understand me because they're all holy. Now, I want to be holy. I want to live righteous. And every single day, I submit myself to the Holy Spirit for that purpose. But folks, that doesn't mean the occasional bad thought does not come into Pastor Shane's mind. Now, listen, I believe in sanctification. But I'm telling you right now, if I see some dude beating on his woman, I want to beat on him. I mean, are you following me this morning? If I see or hear of some guy beating on his women or beating on his kids, and I'm not talking about a spanking either, I'm talking about a beatdown. There's this little part of me that imagines, I don't know if you ever go here, but this is a sin. I want you to understand, I'm confessing a sin to you right now. There's a little part of me that says, if I just had a little metal box big enough for two people, right? No windows, no doors, with that guy. One of us ain't coming out. Now, I'm not proud of it, but that thought goes through my mind, and I entertain it from time to time, to my great shame. Now, there's not a single person in this place that can lift their hand up this morning and say, I don't have any problems like that. I love everybody so much that no matter what I see on the news, no matter what I hear about in somebody's life, I don't judge anybody. I don't want to retaliate. I don't ever want revenge. I'm perfect. As Jesus is perfect, I'm perfect. No. Now, you may not be out living in sin in front of everybody, but I'm telling you, folks, even if it's just in your mind, you struggle. I struggle. It says, confess your sins to one another. And there's a reason for that. Because when you do it, burdens you. You're not the only one dealing with it. It's not hidden. It's not secret. You can't hide it anymore. I just shared with you a sin that I struggle with. And everybody in this church knows that Pastor Shane struggles with that now, right? So every time I move into it, I can go to any of you and I can say, Nina, I'm really struggling, sister. I want to get in that room with somebody. And she's going to understand and she's going to pray for me. In fact, you might even pray for me periodically when you remember this sermon and say, I know Pastor Shane struggles with this. I'm going to pray for him today. I hope he hasn't struggled with that today. You know, are you following me? Therefore, confess your sins to each other. It's like getting a tooth pulled. It's not pleasant. You don't like to think about it. But man, if that thing's eating you up, it's better to get it out. Amen? And the second part is pray for each other. Pray for each other. Now, this is in the context of this relationship that you've now built with this other person. Now, it could be multiple people, but usually when you confess your sins, it's with a partner. Now, I do this a lot with my wife. My wife is my confidant. I can confess a sin to her, any kind of sin to her. I've confessed many of these mental sins to my wife. In fact, I do it all the time when I'm struggling. Like I know a lot of you, when you watch the news, I watch the news. Jamie, does the news ever frustrate you? Has it ever put you on the brink of sin in your mind? I try not to watch it either, but occasionally I catch it. Now, when I saw the news of the shooters that went into Sandy Hook and killed those babies, I went from extreme sadness and anguish. I mean, I sat on a stool in my living room, Billy, and I wept. And then I got mad. Right? And I got mad. When I see things like that, I struggle with it. And then my wife can come home and I can go to her and say, April, you know, I watched this thing today and I really struggled because, you know, I want to go get somebody. You know what I mean? Like I'm angry today and I need you to pray for me. In fact, we're so in tune as partners in this that she'll come home. Like that day, she came home and she said, you didn't watch the news today, did you? She said, you didn't look at Facebook, did you? And I said, yes. And I knew what she was talking about. And she knew that I had seen it. And she knew I was already angry. I mean, she just knows me. Because when I'm dealing with this, I confess my sins to her. She does the same with me. And we pray for one another. You need that partner in your life. It might be your spouse and it might not be your spouse. That's okay. If it's not your spouse, find somebody else. Find a friend. Find a relative that you're comfortable with. But here's the most important part of it. Are you ready for it, church? The prayer of a righteous person. You've got to find somebody who is a Christian to be this partner with you. You can't share this with just anybody. You can't confess your sins to just anybody for a whole lot of reasons, okay? I mean, one of them is that a person who has not given their life to Christ, they don't understand what you're going through anyway. They may not understand why you even want to confess it, right? What's the problem? Who cares? Another reason is they might have a loose tongue. Right? And you confess this sin and then it becomes public knowledge, it becomes gossip, and then something you said in confidence for healing becomes a deeper wound. Are you following me this morning? And I'm not talking, when I say righteous, I'm not talking about self-righteous. I'm not talking about somebody who just says they're righteous because they think they're something special. I'm saying you gotta find somebody who's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You gotta find somebody who has been redeemed by Jesus Christ. You got to find somebody who's born again. You got to find somebody who's gotten that new life just like you have. You got to find somebody who's filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you find that person, they're righteous because of the righteousness of Christ in their life. Amen? The righteousness of Christ. The prayer of that righteous person is powerful and it's effective. And this scripture in James is all about healing and seeking out healing, whether that's spiritual, emotional, or even physical. But folks, you got to find that righteous person. And I can't overemphasize this. So confess your sins to each other, because people need people to do that. Amen? Pray for each other, because people need people to do that. Amen? But find somebody who's righteous, who knows and understands what you're going through, and who's going to pray for you with the heart of Christ. Let's take a look at the next one. This scripture is out of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. It says, "And let us consider how we may what? Spur one another." I love that word they use there. "That we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, Caitlin, if you'll bring up my next part, we're going to break this scripture down. And there's a few things that I want to look at. The first thing I want to look at is this idea of spurring. Now, if you're going to spur a horse, how many of you have ever rode horses? You know something about it. Marilyn, what happens when you spur a horse? You better hang on, right? Because you spur it, and you're saying to that horse, "I want you to go. I want you to go faster. I want you to get moving. Spur it," right? Well, in this context, Christians, people need people. The people in this church, you need to spur one another towards love and good deeds. People need people for this, right? If a person is supposed to spur another person, you got to have two people for that, right? And somebody's got to be doing the spurring. Somebody's got to say, we need to get moving. We need to love more. We need to do more good things and good deeds in this world. We need to be about our Father's business. Amen? Let's get going, right? Spur them. So my first question to you is, what are some ways that we can spur one another without literally having spurs on and kicking somebody with, you know, sharp metal objects? We don't want to do that. How can we spur one another on to love and good deeds? Floor is open to you. How do we spur one another? All right, Will says we can encourage one another. Okay? So just say, "Hey, we need to be doing this, and I know that, you know, you're the man or the woman for this, and we can get it done." What else? Lead by example, right? If you're going to spur somebody on in the church, what's the best way? Go back to last week's sermon. Step up and lead, right? I'm going to show you what it looks like to love more and to do more good deeds. What else? All right. Love Him. Love Him. Show people your love. Love the Lord. That's going to be infectious. Right. So Nina's saying sometimes, you know, people, they're not in a position where they can love or do any good deeds because they got to deal with something that they're dealing with. So you got to help them kind of calm down and deal with that situation so they can be ready to go do these loving things and these good deeds. Okay. Okay. Listen to them and pray with them. Okay. And remind them which way. Sure, sure, sure. Now see, these are all good ideas. You know, everybody who shared this morning, those are good ideas. The hard part is putting them into action and doing it intentionally, right? Saying, today I'm going to wake up and I'm going to seek out people that I can counsel and get them in that position they need to be in so they can love other people more than what they love them. You know, Will, you know, saying, you know, I'm going to today wake up and look for somebody to encourage, because I know we need to be loving more and doing more good deeds. You know, I'm going to wake up and I am going to love people more. And I am going to do more good things, as many as I can possibly fit in the day. I'm going to do good for my husband, for my wife, for my kids, for my coworkers, and every person I come into contact with. I'm going to try to love them with every little ounce of love I've got in my body, because I know I'm an example. And somebody's going to see it, right? And they're going to follow. Listen, all these are wonderful, wonderful ideas. But you do have to do one simple thing. You have to follow through. I mean, this is all theory unless you follow through. So these are great ideas. All right, what are some of the obstacles to loving people and trying to do good? And this is going to lead us right into our next one. The people themselves. How twisted is that, right? People need people. Amen? All right, and we're supposed to be spurring one another on to love and good deeds, and we're supposed to be praying for one another and confessing sins to one another. But guess what? The longer you do it, sometimes the more frustrating that it becomes, because when people aren't making good decisions, when people aren't following the advice they asked you for, when people aren't responding to the blessings that God's pouring out on them, or they're dealing with the same stuff over and over and over, sometimes it can get frustrating. Can I get an amen? All of you have dealt with things like this. It can get frustrating. That's an obstacle to spurring people on to loving and doing good. So when we say we meet together for encouragement, folks, that is what that's all about. You come in here after a week of trying to spur people on to love more and to do more good deeds. You come in here after a week of listening to folks confess sin, or you yourself confessing sin and praying for one another and fighting that spiritual battle, right? And sometimes you're just kind of wore out and beat down and even fed up. Anybody ever walked into church on a Sunday morning and you know what the mission is? You know where we're supposed to be headed? You know what God wants for your life? You know what Pastor Shane's going to say all through the sermon? But you walk in just kind of fed up with the world and tired and beat up, more out. Anybody? That ever happened to you? I know lots of you. You walk in here and you're just fed up. That's why it's so important for us to be together like this. Folks, that's why the Scripture says we're supposed to meet together. That's why the Sunday morning worship and the Sunday school and the Bible studies and even the ministries like on Wednesday nights that we do together and we minister to other people, like all the things that we do where we gather together as the body of Christ, that's why they're so important. Because if you're doing it right, if you're doing it the way God wants you to do it, you're going to get worn out sometimes. And you need other people who understand what you're going through, that are filled with the Holy Spirit, that are going to bring encouragement into your life on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or a Saturday or whenever it is that you're getting together. In fact, Caitlin, if you can go back to that scripture, I want to share this out of Hebrews, and I want you to pay close attention. It says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together." Notice it says giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. So it's obvious that in some cases, people had just absolutely given up on this idea that we need to be together at all as Christians. I can do this on my own. I can work this out by myself. I can read a scripture. I can pray to God. I can live my life for the Lord, and I don't need Nina to help me with that. I don't need Jennifer to help me with that. I don't need anybody else. I'm just not going to church. I'm not going to temple, like they would have said. I'm not going to temple today. I don't need temple. Now, how many of you have ever been in that position? I mean, maybe it's life's crowding in. Maybe you're just busy. You're wore out, and you think, man, I love the Lord, but I can do this by myself. I don't need church. I don't need those people. I mean, I just don't have, it's a hassle. It's too hard. It's too difficult. I'm telling you, you're wrong. You're wrong. Because you need other people. And for no other reason, for the encouragement that it brings to walk into this place and know that somebody else has been dealing with the same stuff you are. If you're doing it right. If you're not doing it right, if you're not saved or you're not following Jesus, this stuff won't make any sense to you. Go, yeah, I could have stayed home and watched football today and I'd be fine. That's because you don't know Jesus. You're not trying to live for Jesus. If you're not trying to live for Jesus, you're not worn out from trying to live for Jesus. You don't need to be encouraged to spur one another on to love. You probably don't even think you need to do it. Are you following me? But if you are living for Christ, this stuff matters. Coming into this place on a Sunday or a Wednesday or a Saturday or whenever we get together, it matters. And it actually says, encouraging one another and all the what? More as you see the day approaching. So the idea is that as the times get worse in the world, you need to meet more, not less. Hello. Hey, is that not a shocker, like to shock you into coherent reality as a Christian? It's saying as the day approaches, and you know this day's got to be, they're talking about the judgment day. They got to be talking about the end of time. As the day approaches, as things get worse for you, you got to do this even more. And what happens a lot of times is we do it less. And we wonder why our churches aren't growing. And we wonder why our people are depressed and sad and lonely. We wonder what's wrong, you know? It's because we don't value this part of what it means to be a church. Are you following me this morning, church? I hope so. We need to be together to encourage one another, to love more, and to do more good deeds. Just for the fact that I like to come and encourage you. You should be excited to get to come here just because you're going to get to encourage somebody else. Because we need to build relationships where we're comfortable with confessing sin to one another without feeling judged or like we can't come back to church next Sunday because now Jennifer knows what I struggle with, right? So I can't possibly walk back in the doors. We need to get past that junk. We need to come together because we want to pray for one another. And guess what? It's a lot easier and a lot better to pray for somebody when you actually know what's going on in their life. Man, I hope you're hearing this stuff this morning. This is so important for us, church, to get it right. So what I want to do is we're going to go to our application. And it's a big paragraph, but it's not really that complicated. I'm not even going to read it, okay? It's this simple. If you don't have somebody in your life that you can confess sin and temptation to, I want that to be your first step this week. Maybe you have somebody, but you don't do it because you don't think you need it. You need it. Trust me. You need to pull that rotten tooth out and start feeling better. You need to lift that burden off of your shoulders and you need to exhale. Some of you need to confess some sin and some of you need to confess some temptation and say, look, I'm struggling here, here, and here, and I need a partner in prayer. I need somebody praying for me because if I don't have somebody to talk to and somebody to pray with, I'm going to lose it. Okay? That needs to be your first step this week. So the application is real simple for this sermon. I want you to go home. I want you to pray about this and say, who is going to be that person, at least one person, that I can confess sin and temptation to and get that prayer. And just make sure it's somebody who loves Jesus, knows Jesus, and is full of the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. Jamie's going to come up and lead us in our last song today. And I want to encourage all of you in this. No matter where you are in your life today, no matter what you've been through or how difficult it's been, Jesus Christ wants to be part of your life right now. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to be His disciple. He wants you to lift that junk off of your shoulders and just give it to Him. He doesn't want you struggling in this sin and this temptation. He does not want you feeling that way. He wants you to be encouraged and full of hope and full of joy and full of faith and love today. And it can happen. But you've got to take that first step. Actually, no, I'm going to take that back. You got to take the second step. He took the first one. And the first step was Him dying for you on the cross and saying it's free. All you got to do is accept it. All you got to do is embrace me. I pray that you can do that today if you haven't taken that step. The altars are open. I would love to pray.